In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, June 29th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. And God said unto Noah, "The rainbow is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Genesis 9:17. Unwittingly, President Barack Obama lit up the White House with this symbol of God's promises between himself and his people in order to celebrate the Supreme Court's decision to make same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. Blinded by God, along with all those God has turned over to homosexuality as an act of his holy judgment, scores of people rejoice while those who love God's word mourn the deepening open sins of our country. In the 5-4 ruling, dissenting justices, which included Chief Justice John Roberts, warned how this historic ruling will only add fuel to the fiery assaults against the religious values upon which the nation was built. Roberts wrote, quote, "Hard questions arise when people of faith exercise religion in ways that may be seen to conflict with the new right to same-sex marriage. When, for example, a religious college provides married student housing only to opposite-sex married couples, or a religious adoption agency declines to place children with same-sex married couples," unquote. While Justice Anthony Kennedy acknowledged in his majority opinion that religious conservatives have the right to, quote, "advocate and teach their views ominously," Roberts continued, "there was no mention of the freedom to live according to their beliefs." Roberts said, "The First Amendment guarantees, however, the freedom to exercise religion." The World View spoke to former federal judge, diplomat, and constitutional law professor at Trinity Law School, William Wagner, about the court's decision.
This opinion is an ominous threat to American democracy, especially for people that hold religious views. Religious views under this opinion are no longer protected in this country. The court went out of its way to specifically limit what religious freedom you will have. In the opinion, it talks about people that are religious, while they can still advocate and they can still teach their religious views. But in a very, very scary aspect to this decision, it did not say that the American people were any longer allowed to exercise their religious freedom, as the First Amendment expressly says that we are.
"If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. According to The Blaze, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker came out strong after the Supreme Court's ruling with a call for a constitutional amendment to allow the states to define marriage for themselves. He said, quote, "I believe this Supreme Court decision is a grave mistake. 5 unelected judges have taken it upon themselves to redefine the institution of marriage, an institution that the author of this decision acknowledges has been with us for millennia," unquote. After 22 days, the second of 2 convicted killers who escaped from prison was shot and captured alive just 2 miles from the Canadian border. 21-year veteran New York State police officer Jake Cook spotted David Sweat Sunday jogging down a road in Constable, New York, and when he could not get him to stop, shot him in the torso before taking him into custody. Sweat's cellmate, Richard Matt, who escaped with him from the Clinton Correctional Facility, was shot and killed by police Friday. 38 people were killed by a black-garbed terrorist with a machine gun as they sat by a pool near a beach at a popular tourist resort in Tunisia. The attack lasted 30 minutes as the shooter walked from a hotel pool area to the nearby beach, shooting person after person, reloading his gun 4 times while several videotaped him. 30 of the victims were British citizens, making it the worst terrorist attack on the people of Great Britain in 10 years, said Prime Minister David Cameron. Police are looking for the 24-year-old man they identified as the mass murderer, Safedine Rezgoui, Britain must become, Cameron said, intolerant of extremist Islam and be stronger at standing up for our values. Among the dead was a couple scheduled to meet the Queen of England in just a few days. North Carolina beachgoers, beware. Six people have been attacked by sharks in the last 30 days, and experts say more are likely under current conditions. Three Boston high school girls were surprised by what they discovered when they decided to contact an infamous and imprisoned former crime boss as part of a history contest. James Whitey Bulger, now 85, serving two life sentences in a federal prison in Florida, sent them a handwritten letter saying, among other things, quote, "Crime does not pay. My life was wasted and spent foolishly, brought shame and suffering on my parents and siblings, and will end soon. Advice is a cheap commodity some seek from me about crime. I know only one thing for sure. If you want to make crime pay, go to law school. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 3:23. And that's the world view on this Monday, June 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, broadcasting from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, freedom, and the possibility of a rising persecution in this country as well, especially with the Supreme Court decision coming down in just a few days. And, friends, that's why the Freedom 2015 Conference at the Des Moines Event Center in Iowa, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses. And we're doing this because it's time. If there are Christians left in America who want to apply an Acts 16 pressure upon the authorities in Philippi, now would be the time to do it. If you want to stay out of prison, if you're a Christian, if you do not want to be fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding or not renting your building to homosexuals for homosexual orgies or fill in the blank, if you would like to be a Christian in America over the next 20, 30 years and you would like to retain just some freedom, I would encourage you to the Freedom 2015 conference. More information, freedom2015.org. And I think what's happening in Ireland and Canada and the UK and other places is about ready to happen here. It's imminent here. Here's an evangelical pastor in Northern Ireland who's – and Northern Ireland is more conservative than Southern Ireland. Southern Ireland has approved of homosexual marriage. Northern Ireland, not quite yet. And yet this man took a position against the Muslim religion, and he's in all kinds of trouble. He called Islam heathen, satanic, and a doctrine spawned in hell. That's Pastor James McConnell at Whitehall Metropolitan Tabernacle just last year in Belfast. And he's in hot water. It goes on and on. He's not taking this lying down. I'm not going to be gagged. The police tried to shut me up and tell me what to preach. It's ridiculous. I believe in freedom of speech. On and on. However, he's stepping down from his role as pastor after the initial controversy surrounding the remarks. His deputy pastor, David Peirce, took his place, and so on it goes. Well, calling Islam heathen, satanic, a doctrine spawned in hell, and the secularists, the humanists, are all concerned about this.
Why?
I didn't think they believed in Satan.
Yeah, they don't believe in hell. They don't believe in God. You know,
this is new. They believe in hell now. They believe in Satan now. I guess they're finally admitting it.
Yeah.
They're taking his word seriously, friends. I guess that's good news for Ireland. Nevertheless, they're upset with him because he's insulting the Muslim religion. And the Muslim religion, as everybody knows, is the religion taking over Europe.
Right.
And the secularists are saying, come on down, come on in, you know, come on down, destroy Christianity and destroy us at the same time.
Yeah, Fox News has just come out with a thing on ISIS, you know, which is Islam, whether you like it or not. And they're coming up with new and varied ways to execute dissenters, like blowing their heads off with explosives around their neck.
That sounds satanic to me.
Yeah. That sounds like it comes from hell.
Yeah, it does. It does. They're also using young Christian girls as awards for Quran memorization contests.
Yeah, sex prizes.
Yeah, it's just horrific what they're doing. And they're selling these girls for, the young girls for, what, $130, the older women for $40. It's Okay, so who's in favor of that? Evidently, the Belfast government, all excited about that. They're gung-ho. Let's endorse whatever the Muslims are doing. And some of you are saying, yes, but the conservative mosques. Well, name one mosque. Point out one press release from one mosque in the entire world that's condemned this kind of thing. Yeah, they should be condemning every day. There should be press releases coming out every day. You know why they don't do it? Because they don't want their mosques blown up, for one thing.
Right.
For another thing, it's really hard to stand against what the Quran says about what to do with infidels.
Right, to execute them.
I mean,
ISIS is doing what the Quran says to do.
Yeah, and it's hard to be a fundamentalist in a secularist world. It's easier to be a fundamentalist in your basement in a secularist world. And so I'd say most of the mosques in America do not claim to be fundamentalist. That is, don't claim to get down to what the Quran really said and obey what Allah really says. Okay, those who at least externally pretend as if they don't agree with what Allah said in the Quran, I think, you know, deep down they're saying, we're really on board with all this. We support this. And they couldn't come out publicly and declaim the sorts of things that ISIS is doing, blowing the heads off of Christians and enslaving girls for $120 a head.
Yeah, silence is concession in many cases, especially when the silence is so loud.
Yeah, but you're going to be in trouble in America and Canada and Australia and in Ireland if you take a position against, well, the politically correct religions of the day, which usually include homosexuality and Islam. We'll be back in just a moment, friends, with more. Freedom is really disappearing, and this pastor is in trouble. He's being charged with something for the remarks he made at a sermon he gave on mid-May 2014 in Belfast. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed that restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated, get some influence, and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates. Take part in a presidential poll. Support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with you today as we talk about freedom and pastors are going to be in trouble if they preach against politically correct religions or politically correct sins. If they're willing to take any kind of position against a different worldview in which they take a fundamental issue, they call it evil, or they call it pagan, or they call it wrong. Friends, in a postmodern world, everybody is supposed to water down their comments such that nobody is telling the truth, nobody claims to have the truth, and the truth itself is no longer a possibility. There are no absolutes, and this is where we are today in the postmodern world. Well, Ontario, apparently, a school district in Ontario is threatening a lawsuit for LifeSite.com. LifeSite News we refer to from time to time. They're a pro-life news source, and we appreciate the work that LifeSite has done, but apparently LifeSite's been threatened with a lawsuit after publishing an expose on a $1.7 billion taxpayer-funded school district in Ontario, where they reported on a conference hosted by a gay rights group where two lesbian teachers from the school board described in detail how they promote homosexuality and gay marriage to students starting in kindergarten. One teacher explained how she hides the pro-gay lessons in the math class. No surprise there. Some people say worldview doesn't show up in math. Worldview doesn't show up in science. Worldview doesn't show up in literature. Absolutely. Always does. Somebody's worldview seeps into everything. It is always there. And the idea that somehow education is neutral and doesn't assume autonomy, that is, man has the right to develop his own ethics as he goes, or somehow doesn't assume a certain metaphysical concept, as in we live in a naturalistic, materialistic world. There is no supernatural that is of any import whatsoever. Jesus Christ did not enter into our natural world and take on a material body and then become the key figure in all of human history. From the beginning of time, creation, all the way up to the cross, all the way up to the judgment day, Jesus Christ is unimportant in history. That's the message you get. You will get that message in every single public secular classroom, with maybe an exception or two, but I would guess there aren't many exceptions to that. The fear of God is not taught as the beginning of knowledge. Christ is not shot through the math class and the science class, but apparently homosexuality is in Ontario, and LifeSite's in trouble right now. They're being threatened with a lawsuit. Apparently, they can cross borders now. Wow. So, friends, please understand what's happening here. What's happening is we have a full-bore onslaught, effectively setting Christians in the crosshairs. And the idea is any Christian organization that is speaking out to more than two to three people at a time, if somebody has a radio newscast from his basement out there on the eastern plains of Colorado, or if somebody has a church with more than 20 members and they preach against homosexuality or Islam, they're this close to getting fined or imprisoned in Ireland, Canada, and America. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think maybe we ought to do a freedom conference in Des Moines, Iowa, 6 weeks before the caucuses? The presidential caucuses for the 2016 elections. Do you think we ought to do that? Do you think it might be a good time for Christians to pull together one last effort to maintain some kind of a commitment to freedom? You say, well, it's not going to work. Well, my answer is this. The minority must always be faithful to the task. Paul could have said the same thing in Acts 16 when he opposed what the city council in Philippi did to him in his own imprisonment. But he didn't. He stood up. And the minority always makes a difference. And secondly, our children need to know that we were willing to face tremendous opposition at the risk of our own lives, our own fortunes, at the risk of our own sacred honor, at the risk of our own imprisonment, that someone might imprison us for merely pressing for our own freedoms or for somebody else's freedoms. Is it worth it to engage the battle for freedom to pass a legacy on to our kids and our grandkids? I think so. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, Iowa, on November 6th and 7th. Check it out at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org. Steve, the battle for freedom is going to be essential for all of us.
Yeah, especially our religious freedom. With this Supreme Court decision coming down on homosexual marriage, I mean, homosexuals are already targeting Christian businesses when there are other businesses available to make their flowers, make their cakes, take their photography. They're going to start coming to the churches and asking if they can get married in a conservative Christian church. And if you say no, then they're going to take you to court. They're going to be trying to shut us down. That's just how it's going to be.
And you'll lose your job.
Yeah.
Are you ready as a Christian to lose your job? Here's a guy who's been working in a Harvard-affiliated hospital in Boston, the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, for 30 years. Dr. Paul Church has been there for 30 years. And he is losing his position. Why? Because he said something negative about gay pride activities on Gay Pride Week. He didn't want to participate. He's a urologist for the BIDMC staff in Boston. Over a decade ago, Dr. Church became concerned about the hospital's aggressive promotion of involvement in LGBT activities, including Boston's annual Gay Pride Week and its emphatic push for staff participation in them. He felt compelled to speak out through emails to hospital officials and later posting on the hospital's internet system. Dr. Church cited irrefutable medical evidence that high-risk sexual practices common to the LGBT community leads to, among other things, a high incidence of HIV, AIDS, STD, hepatitis, parasitic infections, anal cancers, and psychiatric disorders. And they didn't like it at all. Now his job is on ice. Okay, that's Dr. Paul Church per massresistance.org. Are you ready to lose your job? You ready to lose your business? You ready to be fined $135,000? You ready for your pastor to go to jail? Are you ready for parents to lose their freedoms? Because you know what? This is a full court press. Up in Canada, there's been efforts to impose homosexual indoctrination to homeschools. And I believe that's coming here, too.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some breathings of that here in the Colorado legislature, according to Treon Gosen, who's one of our legislative
liaisons.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so, friends, I'm just asking you, are you ready to lose your job? How are we going to survive? How do we maintain any kind of a position? How do we survive in the economy? If, you know, we lack the mark of the beast, for example. Now, I'm just saying that's a possible application. I'm not saying that it is the application. I believe there are applications under Nero and during the first Roman persecutions. But we're seeing something like that in the present day. Don't you think it's time for Christians to develop strategies as to how to survive in a society where persecution is imminent? Well, that's why the Freedom 2015 conference, check it out at freedom2015.org. If you're interested in surviving persecution and providing something of a strategy for yourself and your children. Finally, here's one more instance of persecution on the rise. There's bad news concerning homeschool across the country. There are some indications, there are some anecdotal stories about homeschools that didn't survive or didn't work out well. We know that on the Gen 2 survey, some 8% of homeschool graduates did not appreciate their homeschool experience. And there were probably some negative consequences, some negative experiences in those homeschools. And sometimes it takes two to tango. But some homeschools have instances of sexual problems.
Yeah.
In some situations, there's violence. But the problem is with public schools, you find a higher incidence of these problems amongst public school families versus the homeschool families. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But according to HSLDA, Michigan State Board of Education has voted to support Stephanie Chang's ill-advised legislation. Apparently in the legislature, there's a House bill that would require homeschooled children to be annually registered with a school and physically inspected twice a year.
Wow. Physically inspected.
Yes. That means some experts, somebody from the social services, the Child Protective Agency, is going to be in your home twice a year inspecting your kids physically, or maybe a doctor. But this is imposed. This will be imposed upon Michigan families. Why? And why? Because they found a Detroit mother who murdered her two children, pulled them out of school for a short period of time, said she was homeschooling them, but wound up murdering them. Actually, she didn't homeschool them. She murdered them instead. So that's the real story here, from what I can tell. Whatever the case, if you take a look at homeschool murders and you compare it to the murder rate, the parricide rate in America, you'll find the homeschool murder rate is lower than the pedicide murder rate, where parents are killing their own children. It's much, much lower in the case of homeschool. Now, the same thing for sexual abuse. We asked the question in the Gen 2 survey, were you sexually abused as a child? We didn't get into any detail. We just simply asked the question before you were 18 years of age, was there any sexual abuse? As it turns out, the longer a person is homeschooled, the less likely they are to be sexually abused. In other words, there were some kids who have been homeschooled for 3 years, some for six, some for nine, some for 12. If they had homeschooled a long period of time, if they were committed to homeschooling families, much less likely to be sexually abused. Moreover, the difference between those in the public schools who've been sexually abused and those in the homeschool who've been sexually abused, the difference was significant. Some 300% increase in the incidence of sexual abuse for those kids attending public school versus those kids in the homeschool. A 300% increase. So you are much less likely to be sexually abused within the homeschool environment than you are within the public school environment. Friends, that's significant. It's very significant. But the legislatures, the powers that be, are going to use the anecdotal evidence. Why? Because they will do what they can to shut down freedom in this country. They will do what they can to oppose any kind of biblical law in reference to parental freedoms. And I've gone over that on the program before. I know it's rather politically incorrect to bring out the Bible, but I do, because I like the Bible more than I like the social services and Karl Marx, whose ideologies undergird the whole social services concept in America. So I go with the Bible first over Karl Marx. I prefer a biblical worldview over Karl Marx's worldview, and I'm in support of parental freedoms, especially when it comes to the home education of children. Granted, where there is sexual abuse or violence, where life and limb is threatened or life and limb is taken in the homeschool or in the family, the state should come and get involved, but not at the drop of a hat, not at the raising of a voice. There's a little anger in the home or a little sin here, a little sin there. I'm not saying that sin is wrong, is to be justified, that there's something that should be minimalized about sin itself. I'm just saying that the civil magistrate has a limited role when it comes to sin. And I know there's the goody-two-shoes Christians out there that want the state to be involved at every point. They want to regulate every aspect of the family, every aspect of the family business, every aspect of the economy. Why? Because they're do-gooders.
They're socialists.
They're socialists. They're
yeah.
Marxists.
Yeah.
And they really have despite for the Word of God and what the Bible has to say about freedom. But I would advise you to embrace freedom, friends. I would advise you to take on the right perspective on parental freedoms, and that's one of the things we're going to present in the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines on November 6th and 7th. We've got to get Christians educated on this, Steve. Christians are fascists for the most part. They're socialists for the most part. Why? Because they've abandoned the laws of God. Because they've abandoned the principles of freedom. Because they themselves have been raised in socialist schools.
They've been indoctrinated.
With socialist media
yeah.
and socialist ideals. They're Marxists because they rejected the laws of God as defining parental freedoms.
Yeah, it's not, you know, really when it comes down to it, it's not a case of whether you're a slave or not. It's whose slave are you? Are you going to be a slave of the state or are you going to be a slave of God, a slave of Christ? Which is where true freedom comes, is being a slave to Christ. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the government sets you free, they're not going to.
Yeah. Not these days.
No.
I've got a book on freedom coming out in about a month, and I'm going to talk about the definition of freedom and how that freedom works its way out into political freedoms according to 1 Corinthians 7:21. Well, friends, we've been losing our freedoms. We've been talking about that on this edition of the program. Pastors losing freedoms in Ireland, employees losing freedom out in Boston, and homeschoolers, parents losing freedoms in Michigan. All right, is freedom a value? It ought to be. It ought to be. The Bible presents it as a freedom, and Western freedoms have increased and have been sustained since the Magna Carta exactly 800 years ago. And that's why my book, Freedom, and that's why a Freedom Conference. If freedom is a value for your children, for your family, and will be a value in the generations, I would encourage you to establish it as a value, not by going to Disneyland this year. Establishing Disneyland as a value would not be a recommendation, particularly on my part, but establishing freedom as a value would be something I would recommend on this program. If freedom is a value and you want to register it as a value for your kids, worthy of a little bit of a fight, I would encourage you to the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. Again, that's freedom2015.org. Freedom2015.org. I think it's only $39 to sign up now. The deadline for the early registration is something like July 31st. Sign up now at freedom2015.org. Folks, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. We're trying to increase listenership to all the work we put into this program. I encourage you to encourage others to tune in to us at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.